In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. We continue the homilies on the spiritual life, and we've completed prayer, or at least as much as I'm going to say about prayer, and we now want to talk about spiritual reading. There are, again, as I mentioned, three pillars of the spiritual life, which is prayer, spiritual reading, and rooting out predominant defects. So now we want to deal with spiritual reading. And one of the reasons we want to talk about it is because most people don't do any spiritual reading at all. And it borderlines on the level of sinfulness. I mean, if you're not taking any means in order to come to understand how the spiritual life works and how a better way to approach God and to be able to employ the proper means spiritually, if you're not doing anything along that line, if you're not committing any greater knowledge, and then you wonder why you're stagnating, well, there's the reason why. So what is spiritual reading? Well, spiritual reading is reading which we do to gain a better knowledge of the spiritual life. That's its principal end. And there's different kinds of spiritual reading. You know, you can pick. You don't have to always do one particular kind. There's different kinds that you can, all different kinds. There's reading lives of the saints, for example, the Cure of Ours, or life about St. Joseph, or any saint that you have a particular devotion to, you can read about them. Then there's also books about certain virtues, like humility. The book Humility of Heart by Bergamo, it's put out by Tan, is one of the best books on humility ever put out. Then there is books on charity, such as Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales. You can learn more about what it really means to love God. And there's all sorts of ones, like Divine Intimacy. There's a variety of different ones. Then there's ones that have kind of maxims or wise sayings or learning, you know, just how to be wise in the spiritual life, like The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, things of that sort. Then there's ones that teach us more about devotion so that we can have a stronger devotion, such as Devotion to the Sacred Heart by Father Bosset, or True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary by St. Louis Marie de Montfort. These are just a few. You know, and if you ever, there's a particular devotion that you have to a saint or to some particular aspect of our Lord or our Lady, then you can read books about them. Then there's those that just deal with spiritual realities like grace and infused virtues and things of that sort. And these are basic spiritual books. One of them, for example, is called The Glories of Divine Grace by Sheban. That's a good book to read. It'll give you the basic outlines of what grace is. I'm going to cover that from the pulpit a little bit later, because most traditionalists have very little understanding of the nature of grace and how it functions. But those are some of the things that you can do. Then there's also books about the basic mechanics of the spiritual life, like The Spiritual Life by Tanqueray, or The Three Stages of the Interior Life by Gerda Gudelgrange. Now, this comes with a bit of a warning, this latter one. Sometimes you'll have people who will just pick up a book about the mechanics of the spiritual life, and they have absolutely no philosophical or theological background, and they expect to be able to wade through Gerda Gudelgrange's Three Stages of the Interior Life and understand it. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to do some priming of the pump. You're going to have to do some reading beforehand before you get to the point where you're going to be able to understand that. Then there is also who should be doing it? Well, all of us, ultimately. And it depends on how much, really. It depends upon our state in life. You should be reading about 5 to 15 minutes a day. Spiritual reading is not one of those things where, and that depends on your state in life, of course, but how much you do shouldn't be the type of thing where, you know, you find some book that's good on the spiritual life and then you plow through the whole thing in one sitting. And the reason being is because you simply cannot assimilate the various aspects of the various parts of the teaching of a particular aspect of the spiritual life properly if you're just plowing through it. It's not, you know, the college text that you got to get through as quickly as possible because you've got five others to do. It should be something that is contemplative and meditative, where you read a little bit and then that becomes the part of your meditation. And then why do you do it? Well, as I've already said, to avoid spiritual stagnation and to have material for spiritual reading. But it's also to provide us inspiration. A lot of times people feel no inspiration in their spiritual life at all. Well, why not? Because you're not filling your head with the types of things that are going to motivate you. Instead, you're spending hours and hours and hours in front of the, you know, reading stuff off of the internet. You know, most people are more interested in happening what they're doing with the brain of Michael Jackson than they are worrying about whether they know anything about grace. I mean, it gets to the level of the pathetic in a certain sense. So the moral of the story is that you shouldn't be, you know, as I mentioned, people spend hours in front of the TV, you know, oh, I'm learning something, I'm watching the History Channel. Yeah, well, how much are you learning about your spiritual life? And most people, they say none. In fact, if you poll most traditionalists, you know, when was the last time you read a book on that helped you in your spiritual life? Maybe half would say, well, I read one within the year. Maybe. Then there's also the reason we want to become is because we want greater knowledge about how to act and to become holier, how to have knowledge about God, because the spiritual life, the various means in the spiritual life are means to God. St. Thomas Aquinas makes the observation that the end is always contained, in least implicitly, in the means. What does that mean? Well, if you're heading towards Chicago, you have to point your car in the direction of Chicago. Well, it's the same thing with the spiritual life. If you're going to start advancing and becoming whole or employ the means, it already contains God in a certain way. If you're not taking the means, then you're really not directing your life to God. And that's one of the reasons you have to start praying, so that you know the means, so that you can direct your spiritual life to Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.